Today's shiur is that Masechta Matzia Daf Koftes. We will begin on Daf Koftes and Aleph from the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Mekabel Sodom Mechaveroi. If somebody leases a piece of property from someone else, Lishonim Otos, but it's a lease only for a couple of years. It says the Mishnah, the Halach is, Lo Yizren Pishtin, the tenant may not plant linen, flax, for as the Rishonim explain, flax depletes the ground, and therefore, since it won't grow back in enough time, it takes 6 years for this flax, for the ground to get back to itself. So therefore, if the tenant is not going to have it for that many years, he's not allowed to plant linen. And similarly, the end of the curse, shikma. Shikma is a sycamore tree. A sycamore tree doesn't give fruit. It just is there for its wood. And if you cut down the branches of that tree, it takes 7 years for it to come back. And therefore, unless he's leasing the property for that many years, he has no right to cut down the wood because it's not going to replenish in the right amount of time. Rashi, as I explained, says that Amish is referring to a situation of leasing. Because according to Rashi, an Arisa situation, a sharecropping situation, one would be allowed to plant linen, because even though, as we said, the linen seed adversely affects the property, but on the other hand, it's much more of a valuable product. And if it's a sharecropping situation, the landlord gets a share in the seed, and therefore he won't mind. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam says that our Mishnah is speaking both to a leasing situation and to an Arisa situation. The Ramban agrees with Rashi that our Mishnah is speaking about a leasing, but he says the reason it's not speaking about sharecropping is just the opposite of what Rashi said. Because according to Rashi, in a sharecropping situation, we just said Rashi would hold that it would be permissible to plant linen. According to the Ramban, whereas in a leasing situation, as we learned, and the Mishnah is going to say it explicitly in a moment, if you lease it for a longer amount of time, then you can plant flax. According to Ramban, in a leasing, in a sharecropping situation, in an Arisa situation, you can never plant flax, even if it's a long-time relationship. And that's what the Mishnah says. Kibli men alazayin shonim, if you leased it for 7 years, so even if you're going to plant flax, but you'll have enough time for it to replenish the ground, or if you'll cut off the sycamore branches, there's enough time for them to grow back. So the Shana Rishana, the first year, Yizrena Pishtin, V'yesh Tavikar Shikman, you can take the branches, and there's enough time to let it replenish. And obviously, the Rishonim say, Amish speaks about a 7-year situation. If it's a 10-year lease, let's say, so year 1, 2, and 3, you could plant flax, and you could take the sycamore branches, because you still have afterwards 7 years for it to replenish. Amar Abaya. So now Abaye speaks about the following situation. You leased a property. The property has on it the sycamore tree. And as we described, the sycamore tree doesn't have any payers. So normally, the tenant takes the payers. But here, there are no payers to take. But what does happen, you have this tree, and as the years go on, the branches get thicker and longer. And the question is, does the tenant have a share in those branches? The kairos shikma, ainloi, the actual branches he can't take. However, b'shrach shikma, the fact that those branches got bigger and better, yeshloi, that the tenant has a right to get. Rava disagrees. Afil b'shrach shikma nami ainloi. According to Rava, he doesn't even have a right to take in what the branches got better. And as the Shittim Kubetzes quotes derive it, the machloikis of Abaye and Rava is how do we look at the Shvach Shikma? Abaye looks at the Shvach Shikma as Paris, and the tenant certainly has a share in the Paris, Whereas Rava looks at the Shvach Shikma as the Shikma itself. And just like the Shikma itself is the Keren, which the tenant has no rights to, so too the Shvach Shikma is to be considered the same. Ask the Gemara on Rava's opinion. It says in a Braisa, HaMakabel Sodom Chaveroi, if somebody leased the property for somebody else, the Giyaz Manalot says, and now the time of the lease is up, Shamanloi. We evaluate the value. Says the Gemara, my love, doesn't the Braisa mean to say, Shamanloi Bishvach Shikma, that if during the time of the lease, the Shikma went up in value, that is what the tenant is entitled to. Clearly, like Abaya said, says the Gemara Loi, that's not what the Bryce is referring to. Rather, the Bryce is referring to Shamaloi Yarka Vesilka. We evaluate the vegetables that are being left in the field, what they're worth, and the tenant is entitled to that value, or he could deduct it from the rent. Ask the Gemara, if it's talking about Yarka Vesilka, not Nakravanishko. What do we have to evaluate? If he is entitled to those vegetables, he should be able just to take them. Answers the Gemara, but like Mata Yoim with the Shukah. And this is the way the Rajba explains this Gemara. The Rajba explains that leases on property were not made to a certain date. They were made to go until the season is over, until the vegetables are ready. And that's exactly the case of this Braisa. I leased the property for you, worked on the property, the vegetables grew. Until the vegetables are ripe, my lease isn't up. Now the vegetables are ripe, and my lease is up. So normally we would say, take your vegetables, and finished. I can't take the vegetables, because there were certain days where the market was open, and those were the days you could sell the vegetables and get something for it. On the other days, there was really no market for it. And to cut them and put them away till the market day, they didn't live a world of refrigeration. It'll just spoil. Therefore, my lease is up, but I can't cut the vegetables that really belong to me. That's what the Braisa says, that we evaluate the value of those vegetables, and they belong to me and not to the landlord. But it could be. The Shvach Shikma is not what the Braisa is talking about at all. Ask the Gemara another question on Rava's opinion. Toshma, it says in a Braisa, HaMakabel Sodich Michaveroi, I leased a piece of property from you, V'giyah Shvius, and now Shemitah comes, Shamanloi. We evaluate the value. Ask the Gemara, Shvius mi kamafka ara? The lease isn't affected by Shemitah. Shemitah says I'm not out of work on the field, but it doesn't affect my lease. El Eima, says the Gemara, Mekabel Sod Mechaveroi, what the Bryce is speaking about is that I leased the field, V'giyah Yoivel, and now it's the Yoivel, year coming, Shamanloi. Ask the Gemara, Vakati Yoivel Mikmafka Kablonis, Yoivel doesn't undo a lease, Yoivel undoes a sale. That if I sold a piece of property to you, Yoivel comes and the property comes back to me. But a lease, given that a lease is not permanent, Yoivel doesn't affect the lease. You can't sell something permanently, but a lease is not selling something permanent, so Yoivel has nothing to do with it. El Eima, again, let's try again. What is the Braisa speaking about? Halakeach Sod Mechaveri, if somebody leases buys a piece of property, the Gia Yoivel, and now Yoivel comes, Shamanloi. We evaluate what's on it. So now let's try to understand, says the Gemara. The Chitema, if we'll suggest we evaluate the value of these vegetables that he should be able to, that they belong to the tenant, they belong to the buyer. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. Silka v'yarka b'yoivel hefkeruhu. Everything in yoivel is hefker. I can't get paid for it. Alalav, shvach shikma. Isn't this Braisa teaching us that the shvach shikma should be evaluated because the lessee, the tenant, is entitled to it? Which is clearly a problem against what Rava said. Tergma Abaya Liba de Rava, that the Braisa is speaking about a case, Shani Hosnama Kraviyotsa Mimka Beisai. The Torah says that anything was sold, Yoivel, it returns. Memter Chayzer. What the Torah is telling us is that if I sold you a piece of property, your evil comes, you have to give it back to me. But the Torah didn't speak to Shvach. The Shvach that the tenant or the purchaser put into it, certainly the landlord has to reimburse him for. Shvach, ain't a Chayzer. Shvach, I have to pay you for it. Says the Gemara, the Nivgmimine, why don't we use Yovel as a source to teach us the same halacha as by Yovel? When Yovel comes, I have to give back the purchaser, the Shvach Shikma. Shouldn't that be the din by every lease situation? When the lease expires, we should have to give the tenant the Shvach Shikma. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the two situations. Hasam Zvinim Al Yehu. When I sell you a property, I sell it to you, it's yours. And that is a new din that the Torah says. Yovel goes back to the original owner. But the Torah says that only the property goes back to the original owner, not the shvach, the value that the different trees on that property went up. That remains with the buyer, and I, the original owner, have to reimburse you for that. Here, when that's the Yovel of Kata the Malkahi, the Torah says that I have to give you back the shvach, and the property goes back to me. But that doesn't speak to a lease situation. In a lease situation, it could be you were never entitled to the Shvach Shikma. And we don't have a raya. Says the Gemara, Rapapa kabel arulis basa. Rapapa leased a piece of property to plant on an aspasa. And as we've said many times, aspasa was a cheap item that they used to use for animal feed. Kotch by tali. And small, young palm saplings grew up on this field that prevented Rapapa from planting espasa or planting anything where they grew up. Ki komstalik. Now, when the lease ended, Amlu havli shavcha. Rapapa said to the landlord, give me the shvach, the area that the give me the value of these palm saplings. Amalei rev sheshish bereder of idil Rapapa. Elama akta the dikl of olam. If there was a tree on this property that you leased, and that tree got bigger, are you suggesting, Hochinami the boy mar shefchei, would you want its value to go up? And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, the machloikis that we started this sugya between Abai and Rava was specifically by Shvach Shikma. Why? Because the Shikma doesn't give, as I said, any fruit. So the only thing you could get from the Shikma is the wood. Or that it grew better, or grew thicker, or grew longer. But a fregla tree, if somebody leases, the tenant gets the fruit, and he has no right to get any shear of the tree, even if the tree got bigger and better. So why here are you asking for it? Amalei, hasam lava data to hokinachis. When I lease a piece of property that's giving fruit from the trees, I, the tenant, don't expect to get any shear of the tree itself. Hocha adata dochin chesna. Here, I assumed that if trees or palm saplings would grow, I would get them, the tenant Rapapa said. Come on. Now, whose opinion is this following? It's obviously the opinion of Abaya. Doma b'shvach shikma yeshloi. That the shvach shikma belongs to the tenant. Says Mara, I feel the time of Karava. Even Rava would agree. Hosom Leslie Pseida. If I lease a field that has on it a shikma tree, and the tree got bigger, and I won't get any share of it, it didn't adversely affect me. Here, on the other hand, Ikka Pseida. The tenant lost out by the shvach, by the palm saplings growing there. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Mai Pseida Ticha. What is the loss? The loss is that in the spots where these palm saplings began to grow, he can't plant espasa, because the palm saplings are taking up that space. You added espasa, so what was the loss? That you could have planted espasa there? Shkul, you added espasa. So he said, you know what? Take the value of the espasa that would have grown here, which was very inexpensive, as I said earlier. Vazil, take that. Amalei, so Papa said no. And no kruk marishka, Rabbi. And this is where the Rajba again explains the Gemara. Rapapa says, I wouldn't have used that spot where the palm sapling grew to plant the spasa, which we're saying is very inexpensive, and that's enough for you to reimburse me. I would have planted on that spot saffron. Saffron is a very expensive spice, and now I want you to reimburse me for saffron. Amalei, I'm not a cook marishka, Rabbi. I would have planted saffron there, and that's what you should reimburse me. Amalei, so the landlord told him, Gelisach adatach, the mishka vasuk stalke avadata, that you would have planted and taken it away. Shkol cook marishma vazil. Elnach eldame etzim bovad. You're not entitled to get the value of the tree, of the palm sapling, which has a lot more value than saffron, because this tree could grow to a big tree. You could just get the value of the saffron. Says the Gemara further. Rabbi Barabai kabel ara. Rabbi Barabai leased a piece of property for hadalei mishnesa, and then a stone for a big rock from underground emerged. And interestingly, I'm not sure exactly how this works. Katcha bezardasa, a tree grew on the stone. Kimistolik, when he wanted a, when the lease ended, Amroi havli shefchoi. He said, "Give me my give me the value of that tree." Amra papi. So a papi said, "Mishum dasis meloi, because you come from meloi, because you come from a place that's sort of cut off." Amri mila milyosai. You're saying things that are not sensible, that are cut off. What does it mean? We know that the Navi teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzeira on the family of Eli, the kol marbis mishpachta yemusu anoshim, that most of the people in your family will die as young men. And that was the terrible curse to the home, to the family of Eli. Abaya, the Gemara teaches us, was a descendant of Eli. And the only reason Abaya lived somewhat longer, the Gemara says, is because Abaya learned Torah and did Gemilas Chesed. And the Pasuk says, "Bezevach u'mincha ein mechaper," that even if they bring Kabonis, it wouldn't help him. But Zevach u'mincha doesn't help him. Avol, Torah v'chesed would help them. But they were a family that was sort of cut off. They weren't going to live long. And that's what he was saying to Rabbi Barabaya. You come from a family that's cut off, and your Divrei Torah cut off. Another pshat along the same line is as follows. We just explained that in order for these people, in order for people from this family to somewhat be able to live longer, they have to say Divrei Torah, they have to learn Torah. So he's saying you have to be careful to say good Divrei Torah, Geshmaka Divrei Torah. Otherwise, you're putting your life into danger if you don't want to, if you don't say good Divrei Torah. So that's what he said. B'shum dasisim meloi amrisa mila meliyasai. I feel Rapapa loyama, even Rapapa in the previous piece of Gemara that spoke about those palm saplings and getting paid for what it could have grown on those palm saplings. Loyama elam this lepseida. Because he had a loss. The tenant had a loss. Because the spot where those palm saplings grew, he could have planted something else. He could have planted saffron, as we said there. Hacher might say this, look, here you don't have any loss. Why don't you have any loss? Because there was a stone anyway. You couldn't have planted on the spot that there was a rock anyway, and therefore you have no claim. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Havelai Hu Shasla. Rabbi Yosef had a person who worked as a planter. He was an oris, but as we'll see as we get into the Gemara, there are two types of oris. There's an oris who actually plants the field for me, and then there's an oris who tends the field for me. He was an oris that planted the field. Shavik, Shachif, this oris passed away, v'shavik chamisha chasfenasa, and he left over five son-in-laws. And all five, and the five son-in-laws wanted to continue this relationship. So Rav Yosef said, Amar ana indna chad, until now there was only one person working here. Hashta chamisha. But now we're going to have five son-in-laws sharing this responsibility. Ara edna, lavasamcha ha-dadi. Till now, there was one person, so one person knew that the responsibility is his. Now when you have five people, everybody starts relying on the other person. If there's one person, he'll do the job and I won't have any loss. Hashta chamisha, but now that we have five people, samcha ha-dadi, everybody's going to think that the other person's going to do the job, or mafsidli. I'm going to end up losing. Amalahu, so he told them, Ashkilechu Shevchayichu, Ishaklisa Shevchayichu, if you'll take the improvement that the field made, Umastaliku, and you leave Mutta, fine, Viloi, Mesalikn Lechu Beloi Shevcha. If not, I'll just tell you, you have to leave. Amahu. Dama Rehuda Vitamer of Huna, Vitamer of Nachman, Hai Shasl the Shachiv, if the Ars passes away, Yarshim delay Mistakal Leblay Shivcha. The Yarshim are removed and they're not entitled to the profit, the improvements. Says the Gemara Veloy Masihi. It's an incorrect repetition of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Because what Rabbi Yehuda said, explained the Rishonim, is that indeed that they could be asked to go, but they can't be asked. They don't have to give up the shvach, because the shvach there, the person who they are inheriting from, was entitled to, and they, as his yarshim, are entitled to take that shvach. So again, just to repeat, the halacha is that they are entitled to get the shvach, but there is no din that he has to use them. From our Gemara, it seems that the reason he doesn't have to use them is because there were five. And as the Gemara said, because there were five, he didn't want five people to do the job that one person did the job till now, because five people never works. What would be if there would be only one Yairish? He only had one son or one son-in-law. So some Rishonim suggest, the Meiri suggest, that then he would have to let the son or son-in-law take over his father-in-law's position. Most Rishonim, however, learn that Rabbi Yosef, it seems from our Gemara, would have indeed been fine if only one son or son-in-law took over his predecessor's job. But the halacha is that you don't have to do that. And I hired you. I didn't hire your son and your son-in-law. And therefore, if that person dies, he has to pay him out, as the Gemara says, but he doesn't have to use his successor. Says the Gemara. Hahu shasla, damaluhu im sadna. There was a shasla that told the landlord, if I end up causing you a loss, misakna, you can remove me. If sid, so he caused a loss, amar Rav Yehuda, misak b'lo shafcha. He's removed, and he's not entitled to any of the improvements. Rav Kahan amar, mistalik v'shakl shafcha. His agreement that he could be removed is followed, but he's entitled to whatever shvach that he's entitled to. However, says the Gemara, Umayda Rav Kahana does agree, the Omar, if he said, Ipasidna mistalikna b'lay shivcha, that if I cause any loss, then not only can you remove me, but I'm not entitled to any shvach, then the aloch is mistalik b'lay shivcha. He's removed, and he doesn't get any shvach. But Rav Omar, even if he said that if I cause you a loss, I could be removed and not get any shvach, what he said is meaningless, because it falls into the category of a concept that we've discussed so many times, of an asmachtahi. He said it, but he never really meant it, because he never assumed that this would happen. And the halacha is, v'smachta loikanya. So what does ask the Rishonim, doesn't it seem that this old shaila about asmachta turns out to be a machloikas of Kahana and Rava? So Farshim explained that it could be that Rav Kahana normally agrees that asmachta loikanya. Just this is a unique situation where Chacham said that if you took a job, and not only didn't you do improvement, but you caused loss, then you're not entitled to the improvement. But normally a smachta may be kanya. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav, that it considers it a situation of a smachta, well, Rav Mishnah, why is this different than what we learned in a Mishnah? That's now we learned in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Dalet. If a worker says, if a artist says, Im Oiver V'loi Evid, if I will leave the field fallow and not work, and then he's held to that. So here too, if he said, if I caused the loss, I should be removed and not get any shvach, why is it any different? And says, well, it's a very big difference. Hasam, maida afsid, mishalim. There, whatever loss he caused, he has to reimburse. Hacha is the same. If he caused loss, menkinale, we deduct it. But anything else, vidach, yavinale, we give him what he's entitled to. Says the Gemara, Runya shasla de Ravina hava. Runya was the oris in the field of Ravina, afsit, and he caused it a loss, salke, so he was removed. Asla kame de Rava, and he came to Rava, why was I removed from my position? Amalei chazimar maika avidli. Do you see what he did to me, that he removed me from my job? Amalei shapravid. He did the right thing. You're not doing your job properly, and you deserve to lose your job. But I was never warned. You can't just remove somebody without warning him. Warning isn't necessary. Because a person who teaches children, a rebbe in a yeshiva, shasla is a planter, tafcha is a shaychit, is a mile, and we'll speak about each thing in a moment again, v'safra masr is a cipher, they don't have to get warned that if they're not going to do the job, they're going to be terminated. It's obvious, because klal de milsa, if you have a job and you do kop seidet loy hader, you do irreparable damage, k'musrim v'amdim dami, it's obvious that you have to, that you're allowed to be fired. Machloikis shulchan aruch and ramah, how many times do you have to not do your job properly that they have a right to fire you? The shulchan aruch says once. The Ramah Ahava says three times. You have to have not performed properly three times, and then you could be let go. Let's speak about each one of these jobs. Mikra Dardaki, Rashi says, it's referring to a Rebbe in a yeshiva. And Rashi explains, because if a Rebbe teaches his Talmidim something wrong, that mistake remains with them forever. Taisus is troubled with Rashi's Pshat, because Taisus quotes a Gemara Masechta Basra, that Rava, who's the man the Omer of this Gemara, says that even if a Rebbe teaches his Talmidim something wrong, he could always correct it. And that's not, should not be considered irreparable damage. How is Rashi's Pshat defended? So the Rishayim defend Rashi's Pshat as follows. Absolutely, they say, even if a Rebbe teaches his Talmidim wrong Pshat, he could always correct and teach him right Pshat. But that's only a Rebbe who's really watching and taking his job seriously to make sure that the Talmidim have the right pshat. Here we're referring to a Rebbe that not only taught his Talmidim the wrong pshat, but really isn't giving the Talmidim the right attention, the proper attention, to see if they have the right pshat. Those Talmidim, their mistake will never be corrected. And that's why Rashi says such a Rebbe could be removed. Taisus, because he doesn't like Rashi's pshat, has a different pshat. Taisus' pshat is that if a Rebbe teaches a Talmud the wrong pshat, yes, he could correct it. But that time, those moments that were spent speaking, teaching the wrong pshat, are lost forever. You wasted that time. And there's nothing worse than wasting time. And that's why a Rebbe who wasted the time of his Talmidim should be removed. Another pshat, two opposite pshatim, is one is that the Gemara here refers to a Rebbe who's too strict with the Talmidim. And it's improper that a Rebbe should be too strict. And if he's too strict, he should be removed. Another pshat is just the opposite, that the Rebbe is too lenient, and a Rebbe is not supposed to be too lenient. Shasta, as we're learning, is a planter who didn't tend to feel properly. Tapcha is a shaychet, and again, he caused this person loss because he shechted the animal and turned into an avela. And the Rishonim point out that even if it's a situation that you could claim that since the shaychet didn't shech the animal properly, you're entitled that he should pay you, that still is considered irreparable damage. Because I need the meat. I have guests tonight. I'm making a wedding tonight. And I need the food. And I don't have the food. So even if I'm not going to have a financial loss, but it's embarrassing that I don't have what to serve my guest. Umna is a moil, obviously. And the way that we should explain what an umna is, that it's talking about the mitzitza, where the Gemara says that doing mitzitza after the meal is very important, so the baby should be healed, and he doesn't do mitzitza, or he doesn't do mitzitza properly, it's irreparable damage. Others explain that umna is a maker's dam. The Gemara always speaks about a maker's dam. In those days, bloodletting was the most common type of healing. And here, this bloodletter either takes out too much blood, which obviously could cause the patient serious problems, or doesn't take out enough and doesn't heal him properly. Safra Masa, as I said, many explain that it's talking about a cipher, and it's talking about a situation. There are certain times that a cipher makes a mistake that it can't be corrected. A tefillin mistake can't be corrected. On a Sefer Torah, if you make five mistakes on one Amud, it can't be corrected, and that's the type of cipher we're referring to. Others say it's talking about a barber. Safra Masa refers to a barber. And the famous thing about a barber is, you know, you buy something in a store, you could always give it back, but you can't give back a haircut. That's why it's considered irreparable damage. Says the Gemara, Hahu Shasla D'Amalahu, there was a Shasla, there was a tzarist, I was working for somebody, who said, Havli shefchoi, give me what I'm entitled to, debina lemesek l'arad Yisrael. As the Rishaitim explained, under normal circumstances, if I'm in the middle of my contract, that I'm the oris here, I can't just terminate the contract. And if I terminate the contract, I'm not entitled. Here, however, he had a good reason. He wanted to make aliyah. He wanted to go to Yisrael, so he's entitled to his share. But now the Gemara is going to analyze how much is he and isn't he entitled to. Osla kamed rapapa bashmul. Omle havle shavche. Give him what he's entitled to. Omle rava. I ashbach ara loy ashbach. Is he entitled to all the improvement? The oris isn't the only one that made improvements here. The property, the land, also contributed. Without the land, you can't have property. Omle, he said, I didn't mean that he should get all of the improvement. I'm not pagu the shivcha kamina. Lach. I said he should get half of the improvement. Half an improvement the oris is entitled to, and half the landlord is entitled to, because it's a combination of their efforts, the landlord's land and the oris's work. Amalei, so he says, that's still not fair. Ara idna, have a shock about bayis palga, v'shasla palga. Normally, the landlord gets half and the oris gets half. Hashta, bay l'meisa mons larisa. What's going to happen here is, let's say we divide it. And the example the Gemara uses is that the shvach was worth 6 dinar. So we'll use the Gemara's example. The shvach is worth 6 dinar. And now this oris is going to make aliyah. He'll get 3 dinar, and the landlord will get 3 dinar. But the property still needs to be tended. And he's going to have to hire a new oris. And that oris, as the Gemara will say in a moment, gets as a salary a third. So the landlord, out of the 3 dinner that he's getting, is going to have to give away 1 dinner to the new oris. So it turns out that how much is he left with? He's left with 2 dinner. It's unfair that just because this oris, the original oris, wants to go move to Yisrael, he should have to take a loss. Amalei, out of Idna, have a shock about Bais Palga. Until now, the Baal Bais would have gotten 3 dinner. The Shasl Palga. And the Oris would have gotten 3 dinner. Hashta, but now, Boy Lemes and Mons Larissa. The landlord's going to have to give something to the new Oris. Why should it have to go out of his portion, out of his share? Omle, so he said, what I meant was, River the Shifra Kamina. I meant that he only is getting a quarter of the Shvach. And the Gemara explains it. Sover of Ashi, Lamemus, Rav Ashi thought, what does he mean? River the Hudanka. What it means is that he's getting, that the Oris will get 1/6. Let's think about why. Because the Shvach, as we said, was 6. We also just explained that the Oris, the new Oris, gets a third. So we start with 6, and the new Oris will get a third, that's 2. The landlord, we want, should end up with 3, because that's half. 3 plus 2 equals 5. So how much is left for the original Oris? 1. Sarah of Ashi Lameima, Rivadu Danka, Damar of Minyumi, Bereder of Nachmuni, Ba'asra the Shokla Shasla Palga. The formula was that the original panther would divide 50-50. Verisa, but now, when the field is already planted, and the landlord takes a new worker, that new worker takes a telsa. So now, says the Gemara, Hai Shasla the Boilas the Luki, if the original planter wants to move to Yisrael, Yavina Le Shivcha, we give him the Shvach, a Mesakinale, and we let him go, but we only give him so much, Kihecha the Leim Te Hefsala Balabayas, that the landlord should not suffer any loss. So therefore, I Amr Bishlama River, Dudanka, if we'll say that the original Oris will only get 1 dinner shopper, that makes sense, this division. Eli Amid River Mamish, but if we're going to say we should give him a quarter of the 6, a quarter of the 6 is 1.5, Kamot Le Psedil Balbais, Palgadanka. He's going to end up, if he'll end up losing, because he's going to have to give 2 to the original, to the new worker, and he'll only be left with 2.5. Amalei Rav Achav Reid Rav Yosef Rav Ashi, your math isn't good. The Lemelay, why can't the original worker tell the landlord? Anor mansa delach havli, havli larisa, but no mansa deli madabinan avdebin. He says, I'm going to do the math differently. He says, I'm going to give you 4.5 of the 6. How much do you have to give you and the worker? 1/3. What's 1/3 of 4.5? 1.5. So you'll give your new worker 1.5. You'll still have 3, because 4.5 minus 1.5 equals 3. So your 3 that you're always entitled to, you'll still have. And I'll take 1.5. And now if I want to keep on working in the field, carrying something to work on the field, I'll give him 1/2. And if not, I keep 1.5. So he's saying the division should not be 1 to 5. It should be 1.5 to 4.5. Says the Gemara, Omer, kimotas l'shritas kotshim tova actually. And as a machlokes rishonim, how to understand this line. Rashi says, shritas kotshim means mesechtas vachim, which is a complicated mesechta. He's saying, you know what? You're a Talmud Chacham. You got me. You're right. Your calculation is correct more than mine, and that's the way the division should be. And when we get to Mesechtas Vachim, you're the person I want to learn with, because you're the person that has a good head. That's how Rashi learns. The Rosh says that he was just trying to push him off. And the Rosh doesn't explain. Ramban, there's a complicated Ramban, which I'm not going to repeat, who tries to explain why his calculation was wrong, and he was just trying to push him off and say, you know what, we'll talk when we learn Mesechtas Vachim. So Mefarshim, the Chaya Adam says, according to the Rosh's Pshat, what does it mean he was pushing him off? When we learn Mesechtas Vachim, we'll talk. What was he trying to say? So he says a beautiful Pshat. He says, there are two purposes in learning Torah. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Every piece of Torah that we learn, there's a mitzvah to learn. And there's a mitzvah to learn Torah because that's why we know what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. Unfortunately, in the time of the Gemara, and certainly in our time, learning Mesechtas Vachim only fits the category of learning Torah to do the mitzvah of learning Torah. It's not relevant la'aloch l'maisa, because unfortunately we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So he was telling him, I don't want to argue with you, because arguing with you, I'll only fulfill the part of learning Torah, like learning Mesechtas Vachim, that we're learning Torah. But I still need to learn to know what to do and what not to do, and therefore I don't have the time to spend arguing with you. Says the Gemara, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yuni Bar Derei Reb Nachmuni, Ba'asra the Shakla Shalga Shashla Palga, in a place where the person who plants the field, the artist who plants the field, takes 50%. Varisa, but somebody who works in a field that's already planted takes tilsa. Hai Shalsa the boy is Talukai, if the planter wants to leave, Yavina Lashavche, he takes his share or Masel Kinale. But it's only given to him in such a way, as we said a moment ago, kehecha to leilifsed lebalabayis, that it shouldn't cause any loss to the landlord. Amar Rav Yumi Bereid of Nachmuni, kupa saba, if there's a vineyard and the vines get old, palga, the oris and the landlord divide them. Shot for niara, but let's say there was a flood and the wood and the vines got ruined. There the halacha is, it's not like a situation where they divided because the term of the contract is over, that they divided 50-50. Rather, he's only entitled to a river. Hahu gavra, says the Gemara, the mashkan pades l'chavrei l'esashnin. This goes back to something that we discussed when we learned Perek Ezu Neshach. We're going to discuss this more tomorrow, which is called, there's a mashkan called mashkanta desura. Mashkanta desura means like this. I lend you money, and you give me property as a mashkin, and the way it works is that I will be able to work on this field and get what the field produces, and we have a deal that after 10 years of me working the field and getting everything the field produces, I give you back the field and you owe me nothing. So says the Gemara, Hahu gavu de mashkin padeis l'chavrei l'esashnin. You gave me this field as a mashkin for a 10-year term. However, the kosh l'chamish shanim, instead of it lasting 10 years, after 5 years, the field stopped giving peiros. Abayama, peirahava. Now we have this wood that's no longer giving any fruit. And the question is, what should be done with it? So Bayis says that that fruit, those trees, are considered like peiris, and it should be divided. Rav Amar, Karen Hava, that those trees are considered like Karen, the Yilakach ben Karka, that you should buy new property with that, the Huaychel Peiris, and the Malva will eat the Peiris from that new piece of property. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Yavash Ilon on Nixas, if the tree that was given as a mashkin dried up or got cut up, Shneim Asurimba. Both of them can't take the tree. Rather, what should be done? Keitzed Yasu, Yimachul Eitzim, you should sell it, V'yulok Ben Karka, and buy a new piece of property with it, V'yulokhul Peiris. And the Malva should eat the Peiris. My laugh, how do we understand it? Yovish domida nixis. Man nixis b'zmanoi. Obviously, when we speak about a tree that was cut, it was cut because it was no longer giving any fruit. Similarly, when we speak about yovish, it's referring that time for it to dry up came. And yet, what does the Braisa say? Ketani yilakach ben kaka v'hu aichel peiris. But not that it should be divided. Not like Abaya said. Al-makar nahava. So how will Abaya answer this Braisa? Says the Abaya, the way to understand the Braisa is loy. Nixis dumi the yovish. Ma'a yovish b'loy zmanoy. Av nixis b'loy zmanoy. That's when the aloch is that it's considered like Karen. But if it were dried up in an expected way, it's treated like Peiris that are divided. Tashma. Nafala. An Isha, a woman, is a married woman. Her father dies, and she got an olive tree or a grape tree as a Yerusha. Nafala gefanim v'zeisim zekenim. Yemachul eitzim. They should be sold. V'yulaka ben karka. V'u'aychel Peiris. So we see that they're considered Karen. Answers the Gemara, Eima Vihiskinu. What happened is that it turned into Beloiz Manam, earlier than expected, they withered away. There, everybody agrees that it's considered Karen, that you buy a new tree with it, and that the husband eats the Peiris, and the wife owns the tree. V'bai Seima, Lami Kimna Lahi, Kigon Shinofla Besoda Cheris, to Kakalya Karna. Which means as follows. There is a din. These trees that the woman gets as a Yerusha while she, the married woman gets as a Yerusha, are Nichsimalug. The halacha is that Nichsimalug, the woman owns the actual property and the payers go to the husband. But if we're gonna divide it, she's left with no principal. That's something that we don't want to have. That's why here everybody will agree that you sell this withered tree, buy a piece of property which is considered the woman's, and the husband get the peiris like by all nechsimalug.